We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Here we are. Happy Monday to you. There it is. It is a Monday, July 15th edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Talking season begins, and so, of course, here we are on 103.7 The Game. Ben Loved, joined inside the 237 Roof Studios by Kevin. And, yeah, we'll be here for the next 3 hours, taking you home. And as we speak, Ed Ogeron, LSU players, taking the podium in the big room, the main stage in Hoover, Alabama. We're going to have a live report less than half an hour from now from the home of SEC Media Days. And we'll talk a lot about the three teams that led us off on a Monday: Missouri, Florida, LSU. In fact, in our next segment, I'll ask a question about which might just be the king of the hill between those three. And I think you know one that we could probably cross off the list from consideration. Not hating, just saying. And with that, happy to have you today. I understand and I know this, even though Barry, tropical storm, Category 1 hurricane, back to tropical storm, even though Barry wasn't for many what was projected and expected, for those that it did impact, hey, our thoughts are with you today, and we'll just remind you every day. We tell you about the 237 Roof Studios. Keep that number handy. Darren and company have been getting calls all weekend long, all Monday long. I'll remind you again, the number is 237 Roof, 237-7663. Again, a sales mantra we hear all the time is under promise, over deliver. I will take the combination of what I witnessed in South Louisiana over the past week any bleeping time. The storm was overblown. We were over prepared for it as a state, and it under delivered. Perfect combination. So hats off to everybody throughout Louisiana and the Gulf Coast that really had their affairs in order. Everybody was ready for this, and hey, it's okay. Trust me, if it underdelivers, we're all going to take that every time out. But let's get to SEC Media Days talk, and we're happy to take your phone calls on it as well. 706-0111. Mizzou, not that team, under Gary Pinkel, that entered the SEC, that won the SEC East 2 times running. Not that team at all anymore. But I think there's a chance they could move back into the middle, okay, the middle of the pack. I was going to say upper middle, but let's be clear. I think that Georgia, Florida, and some combination of South Carolina and Kentucky are going to be a barrier between Missouri, Vandy, and at this point, probably Tennessee and the rest. And that brings us to the Florida Gators. They were on not long before Ed Ogeron and LSU. Again, some of the biggest takeaways, some of the best sound. We'll have that for you later in our opening hour. But my initial take is quite simply this. Florida football this year is going to be back on a par to what I think you're used to. I'm not telling you that they're going to be Tebow era world beaters. I'm not telling you that there's going to be Urban Meyer, Steve Spurrier reincarnated on the sideline. But you listen to this show long enough, I think you understand. I do like their head coach. I do respect him. I always thought Dan Mullen was a low-key replacement for Les Miles while he was toiling away and winning, by the way, at Mississippi State. So I think we're going to see Florida really parallel LSU this year. Both of those teams have every opportunity at 10 wins in this regular season. One of the other big parallels, I know, I'll call it ironic. You might use a more cynical word. Florida, like LSU, has a returning starting quarterback. The ironic slash cynical part is that Felipe Franks, back in the day, seemed like he was on a beeline to play for Cam Cameron, Les Miles, and LSU. Does it feel as long ago as it just sounded from leaving my lips right there? Think about those two names with LSU's offense. It's a little different these days in Baton Rouge. Ed Ogeron, Steve Ensminger. Okay, he was around back then. And now Joe Brady leading Joe Burrow, LSU's returning starter. But my gut tells me that Florida has a real opportunity to challenge Georgia, sort of, in the East. Maybe in a similar way that LSU has a chance to challenge Bama, sort of, in the West. It's going to depend on how the cookie crumbles, right? Always, we're looking at scheduling. Florida typically doesn't get a lot of breaks there. I mean, LSU and Florida draw one another as the annual crossover opponent. Yeah, we know that. Florida always gets Florida State. And so, yes, I think there's a chance for Florida to break through, in a way, in the East this year. Now, the fact that they've got continuity with their head coach, who basically is the OC and quarterback's coach, and the quarterback is a big deal. That was a lot of the talking points that I think we heard from the Gators in Hoover today. But LSU right now at the podium, I'll try not to do some direct and blatant tweet reading, but I know this. Our good friends, just for example, at Tiger Rag Radio are there. Ogeron saying, we have a very, very strong special teams coming back. That's what you thought we'd lead off with, right? Special teams. And since they now have a special teams coordinator, who they're actually paying some good scratch to, McMahon and company, I think, have a lot of people excited about what they can add. And yes, you're going to be swapping out kickers, but a lot of people pretty excited about the new one in town. Offensively, Ogeron, within the last 4 or 5 minutes at the podium, said on offense, we went to the spread. We hired Joe Brady, a very talented coach. He has been a game changer for our staff. Defensively, Ogeron, I think Grant Delpit is the best defensive player in the country coming back this year. So there you have it. One apiece for all three phases of the game from Ogeron. And we'll have plenty more, including a live update from Hoover. Raymond Parsh III, in about 25 minutes, he'll give us everything that happened today. In the morning, well, they prepared. They heard from some of the officials, if you will. They heard from some of the higher-ups in the SEC. They ate Golden Flakes chips, I would imagine. This afternoon, they got Mizzou, Florida, LSU, and we'll get the latest skinny from Raymond Parsh III at 4:30. Our only scheduled guest in hour number one at 5:15. He was jealous. I hung out at his place all afternoon and evening on Friday, so Ruff and Rodgery coming back our way at 5:15. At 6 o'clock, excited to take you to the state of Florida. Our man's not on Radio Row, so in a lot of ways, well, he's kind of exactly like me. He's hosting afternoon sports talk. Mark Moses, host of the Mark Moses Show, 3 to 6 p.m., Sports Radio 1560 in Orlando. Also fancies himself as a Mortal Kombat arcade champion. I don't know about that. We'll ask. I just don't know about it. Mark Moses talking Florida Gators football at 6 o'clock. And then a Q&A replay with Billy Napier at 6:30. So a whole lot of football for your Monday, July 15th. It is talking season. We're kicking off with the SEC, but we're also going to let you hear from the head coach of the Raging Cajuns. Again, Billy Napier at 6:30. On the other side of our opening break, your sink or swim question of the day. LSU, Florida. Florida, LSU. I'm going to ask you to tip the scales of justice when we return. Ben Love along with Kevin, and we're taking you home on a Monday. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. All right, right back in. More B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Ben and Kevin taking you home, and soon we'll be taking you out to Hoover, Alabama. Less than 17 minutes from right now, Raymond Parsh III, straight from Coach O's lips to your ears with RP3 in between. He just heard everything from the main podium. He'll give you the skinny a little after 4:30. But right about now, it's what we do. In the 4 o'clock hour, we debate great football topics. And yeah, from here on out, we're going downhill into football season. I know Mizzou was there today, but today the two teams I really want to ask you about are LSU and Florida.
Love
exciting and new. Your sink or swim question of the day, and look, I got news for you. It's only happening over the Hardco Equipment Hotline today. This bad boy ain't on social media. You got to get in where you fit in, and that is by dialing 706-0111. Today's question, better chance of winning its division this season, LSU in the West, Florida in the East. I think we can have some fun with this one. I will lead off. I think the answer to this question is actually LSU. And I understand Homer Radio is coming at me. We're doing this broadcast in South Louisiana. What I know is this. Alabama has had an incredible grasp on the SEC West. And we all know that even when they don't win it, yeah, it happened. Auburn not long ago, LSU before that. Bama has still gotten in to the college football playoff. They've still gotten into the BCS final. And yeah, you're already tired of hearing about it. But here's what I think. I think that Georgia is growing a pretty incredible grasp on the East. The question is Florida gaining ground? You look at their schedule, and yeah, non-conference, Florida's got Miami. They've got Florida State on the docket. Neither of those is a true away game. Miami leads off. Opening weekend, it's in Orlando. Florida State closes out the season. That one's at the Swamp. In between, I would make a strong case that almost every single one of the major division games that Florida is going to wage is away from home. So that's why I'm going away from them. Week three, Florida is at Kentucky. There's a two-game stretch to close out October, and these are the final two games that Florida is going to play before their first bye. Don't forget, everyone's got two byes this year. But the final two games out of eight to begin the season, Florida is at LSU, at South Carolina. I'm going to call my shot some 3 months in advance. That's going to be the death blow for Dan Mullen and the Gators. At LSU, at South Carolina, when they're beleaguered, when they're tired, when they're having to get up off the mat, I think that is what might just do them in. So at Kentucky, at LSU, at South Carolina, and then at Missouri in middle of November, those are the away games in SEC play. Who does Florida have at home? Well, I'll give them this. They've got Tennessee, Auburn, and they play Georgia in the annual road game for the Bulldogs. I just don't think the schedule this year aligns all that well for Florida football. On the other side, I think LSU's in line for a season for one or two conference losses. I think they're heading in that direction again. There seems to be a monster, right, a juggernaut that's at the top of both of the conference ladders, Alabama, Georgia. I guarantee you, when we get to Thursday, the overwhelming vote from the SEC media is that those two are going to meet in the conference title game. Who's going to get more votes out of the two to win it all? Probably Bama. After all, this event is held in Hoover, Alabama. It's a stone's throw away from many of the beat writers live that cover those fancy elephants. You won't get as many people that are coming from Georgia, although it's really not all that far away from Atlanta and Athens either. But give me LSU. Two very similar programs, rebuilding under fairly new head coaches. They've got continuity at the quarterback position. They're both chasing giants in their respective divisions. I see an awful lot of similarities. Give me LSU by the nose. I think they've got the better chance the Tigers do at winning their division this year. All right, don't leave me on an island. We got time for you in this segment. In fact, we got about 6 or 7 minutes where we can kick it around before RP3 joins us at 4:30. Is it LSU or is it Florida? Who is on track to get back to where they used to be faster? And then, of course, you got to factor in everybody else that they're playing with in the division. Your number to play, 706-0111. And I know we're just getting started, right? These are the first three out of 14 teams that'll take their turn at the mic. And we'll play these games for a lot of your SEC teams. We'll figure out just how many of you are students of the game, right? If you've been peeping your magazines, Athlon, Lindy's, have you been scouring the internet, figuring out who's returning how many starters? But God help me, at this time of year, I always come back to schedules. And so, just for example, you and I know we're getting to Texas A&M before long. That schedule is a death nail. Otherwise, I would tell you I think the Aggies are primed to be one of the most improved teams in the league. And by the way, they were not bad last year. But anytime you've got Clemson, Georgia, LSU, Bama on the schedule, I don't know what to do for you. And three of those four, if I'm not mistaken, on the road, I can't pick you. Now, what I can do is say, all right, on paper, you've got this many returning starters. I believe in your coaching staff. On paper, I could say that you deserve to be a preseason top, what have you, 10, 15, 17 team, and that's fine. I'll never go preseason seeding based on strength of schedule and difficulty of your schedule. But when I'm going to project and prognosticate your final record, how can I not? So that's part of it as well. When I'm talking LSU and Florida, LSU plays in the SEC West, right? We know it never gets tremendously easy. In fact, it never gets even remotely easy. But I think they may have a little better path this year, just based off where some of the key games are. LSU-Florida, head-to-head, for the first time in 3 years, will be in Baton Rouge. Thank you, Hurricane Matthew, from back in the gap. But that's the point we're at right now. I think I trust Burrow a little more than Frank's. I think I trust LSU's defense a little more than Florida's, although I think both are going to be strengths of their respective teams. If I'm going to another tiebreaker, Tigers have maybe a little better, more generous home schedule. Yes, LSU travels to Bryant-Denny, but can we all agree that that's been better for the Tigers program lately? You tell me. LSU v. Bama at Bama or in Baton Rouge? They haven't scored a point in that game in Baton Rouge for 3 runs. Almost 6 years. I think we know the answer to that question. So, again, you get a chance. We got some time for you. 706-0111, RP3 coming up. Less than 10 minutes from right now. Ruffin Rodrigue at 5:15. Mark Moses from the state of Florida at 6 o'clock. And then a Q&A replay with Billy Napier at 6:30. And I'll tell you this, too. Well, I got some time. Had an opportunity to think a bunch about LSU football this weekend. That's part of what a impending hurricane will do for you. And so, yeah, we had people at our house Friday night, a little worried about the weather that was coming their way. And so we woke up, had first cup of coffee at 8:30, Bloody Mary by about 10:30. At some point, you just got to start talking football, right? Yeah, so by 11:30 or noon, we commenced that. And it's interesting how much optimism that there is, not just surrounding LSU football, but so many people that I think were understandably in the not sure column, pile, whatever you prefer, when it comes to the Ed Orgeron full-time hire, so much of that base has come around. And I told you on this show that I thought there was a chance if they couldn't swing for the fences and get Jimbo Fisher, Tom Herman, the two guys that are heads of state in Texas now. But back then, I told you if they can't get them, I thought that this – plus maybe Joey Freshwater as OC, was the best backup plan possible. As we now know, Lane Kiffin ain't on the staff. As we now know, it was a horrible idea to try the Matt Canada experiment. But they seem to have the pieces in place that they want. And around, at least the people in my household, but the more and more I branch out, I think what we're finding today is that around the Southeast, other people, those that cover and follow and love LSU, okay, outside of LSU, Bama, Auburn, Florida. I think that's one of the main themes you're going to kind of discover this week. People are going to talk about two of the three teams at the podium today being back. LSU, Florida. Both had their opportunities at big bowl games this past year. LSU won the Fiesta Bowl, we know, against Central Florida. Florida took on Michigan in a much ballyhooed game, so both of these programs are heading in the right direction, and I believe you're going to see some praise heaped upon them from people who may not otherwise do just that. All right, so a lot on our agenda today. What I can tell you is this. Every day at 4:30, Monday through Thursday this week, we're going to have RP3 locked in. So we want some continuity in those updates. You'll know where to get them. 4:30, Monday through Thursday, Raymond Parks III from Hoover. Although Thursday, I get the feeling he might be coming back toward our fair state. After all, he's got to do a show on Friday, but I'm trying to line up some pretty special things the rest of the week as well. We got a couple of folks that so far are on a line to join us later this week from Hoover, including our good friend Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's Magazine. A few others that, again, I don't want to spoil or ruin our chances, so I'm not going to call my shot Babe Ruth style just yet. We're efforting Brad Boyd along with Frank Bartley, former Raging Cajun basketball player. Why? Well, I think you know why. Because there's an awfully big basketball tournament that's coming back starting later this week. No, it's not the Big Three. You know exactly what it is. The basketball tournament. We talked about it a lot last year. Going to do our best to bring that back for the summer of 2019. Because, God help us, we're just trying to get past all of the NBA free agency talk. It has ruined so many lives and ruled the roost on this program recently. So we'll try to switch it up on the hardwood sooner than later. So a lot to get to this week. And before you know it, as in like the first week of August, we should be back to our weekly football programming. And I'm excited about that. We've been touching base with some of the guys that, well, they make this show what it is. And they help us tick during football season. Justin Vincent, Gus Cattingill, just to name a few. But we got a few others as we're going to try and mix it up for this 2019 football season. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in. Ben and Kevin taking you home on this Monday, July 15, and out to Hoover when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Here we go, back in more Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. And our pleasure for the first time this week to take you live to Hoover, Alabama, your SEC Media Days update from RP3, and it's presented by Ardco Equipment. When the only road is no road, it's Ardco Equipment. And when the only guest is the best, it's RP3. How are you, Ray?
I'm doing well. I have in the middle of surviving my first day of SEC Media Days, the good brother.
Well, let me ask you, before we get to Mizzou, Florida, LSU, we'll make it all about you. Is it anything different than what you expected?
Oh, it's beyond everything that I anticipated, brother. I mean, there's a big difference, big jump up from covering Southland Conference and Sunbelt Conference Media Days and what goes on here, just the enormity of it all, the fact that there's just hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of media members and the whole nine yards, man. And then there's just the fans waiting to get autographs and they had an LSU contingent here earlier screaming at Ed O to sign mini helmets. It's been interesting, brother. It's been a great time.
I tell people this all the time, and it is no jive. At SEC Media Days, you're not allowed to be anywhere near Nick Saban when he pees. I mean, seriously, they like block the bathroom off for him. However, if you go to Sunbelt Conference Media Day, you will sit and have lunch with every head coach and AD.
you're not wrong. We did that last year, you and I, where we were just able to sit there and just break bread with some of the coaches throughout the Sunbelt Conference. A little bit different here, brother. A little bit more structured, a little bit less laid-back approach, so to speak, here in northern Alabama.
Raymond Parts III, our guest, live from Hoover. All right, let's get right down to it. Mizzou and Florida preceded LSU. Any big takeaways? Anybody take a shot at another player or coach, another program, or was it pretty docile for the Tigers and Gators?
It was pretty docile. For Mizzou, the story was all about Kelly Bryant. We actually have a story up on the 1037thegame.com that I wrote, and it was nothing but a love fest for him. And he, so far today, the LSU guys are being interviewed as we speak, but Kelly Bryant was the star attraction on day one. Everyone wanted to talk to him. He's the former Clemson starting quarterback that transferred. This is his last year of eligibility, and he had a lot to say. I mean, it was interesting. He talked how he almost ended up in Arkansas, but Missouri was the first team that reached out to him, and he fell in love with them, and he fell in love with being coached by Derek Dooley, the former BCS National Championship winning assistant under Nick Saban at LSU, as you remember, as well as the former head coach at Louisiana Tech. So he was kind of the star of the show. They talked a little bit about the NCAA ban, postseason ban that's in effect right now for Missouri that they're currently appealing. So that was kind of a topic of discussion. The star attraction for Florida who was the second team up today in the third interview. Of course, Greg Sankey led things off today with his State of the Union, which he said some interesting things. Florida, of course, was Felipe Franks. Everyone wanted to kind of surround him. It already has that vibe on day one, Ben. You know, it's the most quarterbacks ever here at the SEC Media Days. 9 are going to be in attendance over the four-day period. You can definitely tell that they are going to be the stars of the show. Felipe Franks has been an embattled QB at Florida. But Dan Mullen, you know, preached once again nothing but confidence for him. So pretty docile. The stuff that was kind of the most the moments that raised the biggest, you know, raised the eyebrows, so to speak, was what the commish had to say earlier today about gambling, about officiating, and about the relocation of Media Days in general.
We'll get back to Sankey. I don't want to bury that, but we certainly don't want to bury the home state team either. LSU finishing up their time at the podium. Ed Orgeron has already come and gone from the big stage, but I know that Grant Delp had drawn one hell of a crowd right now. Your overall, observations, not maybe brass tacks of what they said, but just watching them, Ray, go through Radio Row, the TV portions, then into the big media room. What kind of fanfare was there for LSU?
It was a large contingent. Like I said, there was a family here that had their kids that were all decked out in LSU gear. You had some fans here. Positive. They did a little dabbling with Radio Row before they went through the process of hitting the main stage and now doing the separate interviews. Ben, Edo, he seemed like Coach O. I mean that in the most complimentary way. One of the first things he said on stage was, you know, we blocked out the noise last year. That's going to be what we're going to do this year. So last year he enters the SEC Media Days on the hot seat. National pundits are saying that he's going to get fired. They're predicted to finish 5th in their own division. A lot of negativity, people transferring out, people getting players getting in trouble off the field, right? It was a lot of negativity, and they blocked it all out, and they had a 10-win season and won the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. And they had a tremendous season. Well, now everyone's giving them all this love. Oh, you guys have a great chance of beating Alabama. Paul Feinbaum said it earlier today. And everyone's predicting them to have this tremendous season being in the college football playoff. Ed O and his staff, they're preaching the same thing they did last year, Ben. Blocking out the noise. We're going to go about our business the same way that we did last year. Nothing has changed. And you can see that with the players, and you can see that with Coach O. That's the big thing that stood out to me. And then also, Coach O, once again, hit on the things that he's been hitting about ever since the end of last season. How much he loves Joe Burrow, which we know he has a little bit of a man crush on his quarterback, that they're going to run him with the RPOs more this year because they got Joe Brady on staff, that they need to improve pass protection. He mentioned that a few times, actually. And also that their run defense was not good, or in his words, was not championship caliber or not championship run defense, and that they need to improve on that greatly this year.
I know that Raymond Parse III and Clint Domain will be posting plenty of material, a lot of cool behind-the-scenes videos as well. Our fans need to make sure they check it out, 1037thegame.com, and it's all presented by Ardco Equipment. All right, let's finish up now with the commish, gambling, officiating, relocation of SEC Media Days. Oh, my. Which is the biggest topic and why?
The biggest topic is the, as you can imagine here, is the relocation of Media Days. There's some scuttlebutt, so to speak, chatter amongst people that have been covering this event for its entirety, been since 1985, that feel like it may never come back. That when the commissioner made the announcement this morning, kind of jokingly, that they were going to Vegas, and then he was just playing with us and kind of having fun. But then he made the announcement, well, we had such a great time last year in Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame that we're going to return there next year. Okay. And then we thought, okay, well, maybe it's going to come back to Hoover. Well, then he went ahead and made the announcement that 2021, they're heading to Nashville. And the first thing that came to my mind, Ben, was they're taking the NFL draft model. The NFL draft for years was in New York. It never left. And then they took it on the road, Chicago, Philly. And then last year, obviously, huge success in Nashville, record-setting crowds. I think the SEC views their Media Day event as something that can be a traveling event, a marquee event, on par with the NFL draft. And I think this is what you're going to see. It's going to go to Atlanta next year again for the second time. The second time it's left the state of Alabama, or it's left the Birmingham Hoover area for that. And then it's going to go to Nashville. And don't be surprised if you see in the years to come, New Orleans, other places in the footprint of the SEC. I think that's going to be the model moving forward. I think they look to the NFL. They're inspired by what they see with the draft, and they're going to take it and run with it, so to speak, because he did not – he thanked Hoover and he thanked Birmingham, but he did not commit for the event coming back here. And a lot of people here believe that's an indicator that it won't.
Before we let you go, RP3, the gambling portion of it, how comfortable are they with even having these conversations, knowing now that it's part of the rest of our dialogue, that it's now up to a state-by-state basis whether they want to permit it or not? How comfortable is the SEC in cozying up to gambling, or gaming, as it were?
I don't think they're comfortable with it by any stretch of the imagination. I think if you had an honest conversation with them off the record, I think they would sit there and tell you that they're very nervous. Now, they've been Sankey's been communicating with the presidents and athletic directors and everyone else under God's green earth in SEC country, and they're trying to formulate a plan. They support the federal regulation, and particularly when it comes to prop bets. Okay, that's one of the things that they're worried about. But Sankey and the rest of the SEC also sees the writing on the wall. They see that sports betting is spreading throughout the entire country. State after state is voting on it and putting it, you know, making it legalized, except for our state, as we know. We have to go to Mississippi to place that prop bet. But they see the writing on the wall, and they see that a large portion of the region that their teams call home are going to be embracing sports betting. So they're going to try to formulate a plan that they can try to regulate it as much as they can. Look, you know this, Ben. They're not going to be able to regulate it the way they want to, but I think they're starting to come to the terms of, okay, this is happening. We can't stop it. The wave's coming. We're going to have to at least brace for it and figure out how to ride this out and just make it part of the fabric of our conference and come up with the best possible solution for that.
Always a pleasure to catch up. Usually I see you here inside the 237 Roof Studios. This time a little long distance. Ray, I'll be listening tomorrow at 6. Look forward to talking tomorrow at 4:30. Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother. You have a good one.
Raymond Parse III, host of, well, I was about to say Rap Game with RP3. Oh, we 86 that bad boy. You're just a podcast now. The show is RP3 and Company, and it is 6 to 9 a.m. on Acadiana Sports Station. That is your daily SEC Media Days update presented by Ardco Equipment. And there's some more that I'm seeing from LSU's players. I'll get to that on the other side of this break. Plus, something legitimately awesome and uplifting that happened with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim over the weekend. And yeah, we're talking football today, but I'm absolutely going to go there. It was that good. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game. Just about 11 minutes until 5 o'clock. Back in with more of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. In about 25 minutes from now, we'll bring Ruff and Rodriguez aboard. Between now and then, let's take our first call of the day. You want to go in on LSU sports, football in particular, with SEC Media Days going on? Yeah, we got time for you. 706-0111. I can give you a tidbit from today you're not going to love. Ed Ogeron, according to Jacques Doucet, WAFB-TV in Baton Rouge, Coach O, today said he's not as optimistic as he once was about Ed Ingram returning to the team. He called the process prolonged. That is not good. And I'm not sure I would anticipate this going the way that Christian Fulton did it kind of this time, maybe 11 months ago, last year. And so while that has been a huge topic this offseason, LSU's offensive line, will they be bolstered with Ingram coming back? All of the legal entanglements that he endured in the state of Texas, where he's from, not sure that that's looking as promising as it once was, according to Ed Ogeron. But that's not what I wanted to talk about in this segment. Just wanted to make sure to give you the latest as I'm seeing it across the wire here from Hoover. If you stayed up late enough on Friday night, and again with the storm coming, many of you did, or if you woke up early Saturday morning, and yeah, with the storm, you might have been up early for that too. You saw the Tyler Skaggs celebration is what it was, and a memorial game that took place with the Angels. And what it turned into is something that you can't script, it's something that really kind of defies real explanation. A lot of times we throw our hands up in the air and we just say, it's just baseball. This is one of those times where you actually do the same thing, but in kind of a glorious way. How do you explain this? I don't know, man. It's just baseball, and it's beautiful. We all know Tyler Skaggs passed away several weeks ago at the age of 27. Angels were about to play in Arlington. They found him in his hotel room outside of Dallas. Here's what happened on Friday. Again, they had to get back from the All-Star break. They had to play a game back at home for all of this to kind of make sense, to really celebrate his life in front of the home fans. And here's what they did in front of a packed house. They brought his mother out to throw the first pitch Friday night. Every single player, and this is kind of like they do for the Jackie Robinson Day every year, every single Angels player wore his jersey, right? Skaggs on the back, 45. But what happened after that was truly incredible. Mike Trout hit a home run exactly 454 feet. Yeah, first two digits there, Skaggs number 45. And you could say, Ben, you're hunting for these numbers. I'm not sure about this. Ah, you're looking for this. Hey, if you don't want to believe that there are baseball guys and that there is a big man upstairs, I'm not going to convince you to, but some of these things point in a pretty divine direction is all I will suggest. The Angels scored 7 runs in the first inning, scored 13 runs in total. Skaggs' birthday, July 13, or 7-13, which, oh, by the way, was the day after the game. Or, you know, since we were watching it, and I was watching it at my house, as it were, it was past midnight, so it was July 13 when I was watching the end of that ball game. It was absolutely incredible. But the thing that most people have seen so far, and the real headline attention getter, understandably, a combined no-hitter. And not just that, it was the franchise's 11th no-hitter of all time. Skaggs wore the number 11 in high school. The symbolism ran rampant. And if baseball, and if that type of moment, that game, some of those, you may call them coincidences, if those don't give you the chills and make you believe in something just a little bit bigger than us, wow, I don't know how I can help you. But it was also brought to my attention. Again, if you saw the game and you've seen the aftermath, you know that every player then went and put their number 45 Skaggs jersey on the mound. I mean, just goosebumps and chills everywhere. But it was brought to my attention, and I'd almost forgotten about this. D. Gordon, playing at that point for the Miami Marlins, hit a home run the first game after Jose Fernandez's death, and that franchise was mourning the loss of one of their stud pitchers. And then the Angels throwing, even though it was combined, who cares? They threw a no-no when celebrating a guy, and his mom threw out the first pitch. It's just, it's absolutely remarkable. So, yeah, we're going to talk almost exclusively football in today's program. But, hey, if that made you feel a certain kind of way, you're welcome to call and tell us about it. We got some time. 706-0111. Some great guests still lined up between now and 7 o'clock. Ruffin Rodrigue at 5:15. Mark Moses from Orlando, Florida, talking about them Gators. They took the stage today as well as Mizzou and LSU. Mark will join us at straight up 6 o'clock. And then Cajun fans, you can eat your heart out. A Q&A replay with Billy Napier at 6:30. Another tidbit that I wanted to share in our opening segment, some of the news wasn't as good and as divine as others. Darius Geis, I caught that not long after the show Friday. I was leaving Rufino's on the River, and I think somebody popped me with that news, and I said, man, you got to be kidding me. How does that happen? But sure enough, Geis comes down with another hamstring injury, and his return, or I guess I should say his involvement in the Redskins' mini camp to ensue is questionable, and his return date is as well. So just the guy at this point that seems incredibly snake bitten. So following up on some of the biggest news from the weekend on a Monday, but certainly the biggest thing going is SEC media days. And I could kind of tie the two together, kind of sort of, and it all leads into our final word. Yes, we had a legendary Wimbledon final with the Joker beating a legend and maybe the best ever on grass yesterday. It was a phenomenal match if you watched it between Djokovic and Federer. But you noticed, Kevin, you're shaking your head and laughing already. I know that you saw that Djokovic was eating a little bit of grass. If you don't think a former SEC coach saw that, you're absolutely out of your mind. So let's use that today, and we'll get to one final word in our 4 o'clock hour.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Real, as in real, recognize real. And when it comes to eating grass, Les Miles is the real. You just have to live up to his standard. I think that Novak Djokovic did yesterday. According to Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic, buckle up for this, it's fantastic. Miles, when told that Djokovic ate grass after winning Wimbledon, here's your exact quote from the hat. Did he really? I recommend that people who enjoy a relationship with green grass take a nibble every now and then. That is quote unquote from Les Miles. And so, yeah, look, if it's Columbus Day, those who might build a ship or traverse the planet, they should get on a boat. If they are one that might embark on a boat, hey, this was their day. That was Columbus Day. Today, if you like grass, and hell, if you enjoy a healthy relationship with green grass, then you need to take a nibble every now and then. Wow. Real, the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They are your final stop to flip your stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We are one-third of the way home ourselves. We'll be back with 2 hours to go. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It is time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one. We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Who do I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
And running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. Ben Love joined by Kevin taking you home on this Monday, July 15th. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Already we've had one check-in from SEC Media Days. We'll continue to talk LSU, Florida, Mizzou football. That's right, the first 3 of 14 teams to go in Hoover, Alabama this week. Stay pat. You're going to hear more about all of them. Glad to broadcast from inside the 237 Roof Studios today. Again, with all the inclement weather that's come through the area, if you need a little reactive work, if you're just not sure after the storm that everything is, well, up to code and snuff, the number is 237-ROOF, 237-7663. I'll jump back into SEC Media Day's talk, and we'll open back up the sink or swim question of the day. Looking for that first phone call today. I know, it's the middle of July, and it's talking season. Let's talk a little football together. 706-0111. And the sink or swim question, who's got the better chance of winning their division this fall? Is it LSU in the West or Florida in the East? I made a case that it's LSU. And yeah, overall, the West is tougher than the East. You might think that gives the Gators an easier path. But I look at their schedule, and this time of year, that's what we do. We don't just look at returning starters, not just which coaches did you lose on the staff, who did you pick up. We look at the schedule. How difficult is your run? And when it comes to Florida football, I'm going to tell you again that I think they've got some of their most difficult games in the conference away from the swamp. Their first SEC game is week 3. They're at Kentucky. But they've got a stretch right before their bye week toward the back end of October that I think will really make or break Dan Mullen in Florida this season. At LSU, at South Carolina. That's weeks 7 and 8, then they get their bye. And so why is that important? Or why would I tell you that that's a big deal? Well, just look at the way LSU's schedule almost always lines up. I know this is the year of the double bye. And so you're not going to have to worry about LSU just getting the one bye before Bama, and that's it, that's all. It's structured differently this year. But really and truly, that's what Florida's got. Their two byes are backloaded. So they've got one basically Halloween weekend, and then they take on Georgia in Jacksonville to kick off November. They've got their final bye before their final game of the season, a home game against the Florida State Seminoles. And so, yeah, they'll be running on fumes a little bit. Week 7 at LSU, first time that game will be in Baton Rouge in 3 seasons. And then at South Carolina, Gamecocks might be the most underrated team in that division this year, for my money. So we'll see what Coach Boom and company could do in Columbia. But it's because Florida's going to be tested on the road this year. I see them dropping 2, maybe 3 SEC games. How many games overall? Probably more than that. They've got Miami in Orlando to open the season, and as I mentioned, Florida State to close the 2019 season. Florida State will be improved. They have to be. They were awful last year. So I look at that schedule, and I see a 2 or 3 loss SEC slate for the Gators. I look at LSU's schedule, a little different feeling. Feels like 1 or 2 losses. Now, the Tigers don't play some of the non-conference opponents that Florida does. Yeah, they've got Texas, but outside of that, it's pretty cakey. So as opposed to 2 potentially losable games out of the other 4, LSU's probably only got the 1. But then Florida doesn't play anybody as singularly difficult as Texas. And yeah, that one on the road for the Tigers, whereas Florida doesn't have a true road game when it takes on the Noles or the Canes. So we've been kicking that around a little bit. Best chance of winning their division, I think it's LSU creeping up on Bama a little bit faster than Florida is creeping up on Georgia. But we got some time if you'd like to let us know. 706-0111. Some of the big news that's come out of day one from Hoover. Greg Sankey, the commissioner, talking an awful lot about gambling. Prop bets came up today at the home of SEC Media Days. And that was something I didn't exactly expect. They're uncomfortable maybe cozying up to the idea of gaming, but then particularly prop bets. Why? Well, you could guess as well as I can. They don't want individual players to become subject to, let's just say, being swayed, right? Who's going to score the first touchdown? Well, hey, if that's on the books early enough and the guy's healthy, well, maybe that guy could be swayed and maybe then some things could be called differently in the huddle. And yeah, we all have seen movies and shows that get a little dirty with some of the gaming. But gambling, officiating, and relocation of SEC Media Day is some of your biggest topics. You know, we talked with RP3 in hour number one. The reality is this. Only media types, by and large, outside of like hotels and restaurants and bars in the Hoover and Birmingham areas, only really the media cares about where the media is going to go. And so I understand why that's a big topic of conversation there. Relocation of SEC Media Days. It already had been announced for Atlanta in 2020. And Sankey said earlier today it'll be Nashville for 2021. So they're starting to earmark some different locations. And the scuttlebutt, according to Ray, is, hey, this thing may not ever find its way back to Hoover. That, to me, would be a mistake. And it was just very SEC. It's the only way I know how to put it. It was a colloquial place. And, yeah, it's close to Tuscaloosa. Everybody wants to point toward the SEC office and Alabama being in cahoots. I get it. I get it. I do. But it really is the perfect kind of almost delectably southern town to host SEC Media Days. You start moving it to Atlanta and to Nashville, yeah, it loses a little bit of that edge. And even when you consider that the SEC network has its base and origins out of Charlotte, suddenly, it just means more money. And maybe that was predictable. They're moving it out of SEC type of towns, and they're moving it into some of your biggest hubs in the bottom right quadrant of our country. So, again, the listeners, they'll care a little bit less about that. But everybody that attends it every year and writes about it, yeah. Well, to them, it's going to be a bigger and different deal. As far as LSU goes, their time at the podium has come and gone, and I'm told we will have some sound. Clint and Ray have been hustling that up. Hopefully toward the back end of this hour, we're going to be able to relay some of that to you. But Coach O did tell media members, suddenly he's not as optimistic as he was earlier this summer when it comes to the return of offensive lineman Ed Ingram. Ogeron called the process prolonged, and that certainly would be bad news for James Craig and company. As they're starting to get their ducks in a row, just means you have to go down the line a little bit. And Ingram had a chance to be one of the best returning linemen, even though we know he had to sit out last year with his legal entanglement. And so without Ingram, what does that mean? Well, it means that some of the other guys have more opportunity. It means that the Austin Deculuses of the world are going to have bigger and better opportunities. Some of the guys who were thought to be just depth, well, they're going to have to be pushed to the front line a little bit. And when it comes to LSU football, that always seems to be the way of the world. Guards play tackle, tackles play guards, and, well, everyone gets injured up front. But the Tigers usually are having to push back as much as anybody out there. So I mentioned Deculus, Adrian McGee, just a lot of players who were thought to be maybe 6, 7, 8 in line. They'll now be battling for that fifth spot. Only good news, I'm quite certain that Steve Ensminger, James Craig, and the offensive brain trust at LSU have been contending with this for quite some time. All right, just getting started with the 5 o'clock hour, B2BS, and a Monday edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, always brought to you in part by Relief Windows. And when you think windows, doors, and siding in Acadiana, well, you got to go no further and think no further than Relief Windows. The website, reliefwindows.com. We're coming right back, bringing Ruff and Rodrigue with us. You are dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Right back in, quarter after 5 o'clock. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Let's bring aboard our good friend Ruff and Rodrigue, owner of Rufino's on the River. Ruff, it's officially talking season. We got SEC Media Days. You get up for this at all, or is it just another thing for you?
Oh, I love it, man. It's, you know, anytime you got a coach that says he's happy with a guy who's a slim 340 pounds, as Tyler Shelvin, he's made Ed Ogeron happy. You know, it makes everybody happy to hear those kind of things, all the positive stuff. So, and it's good to see Coach Ogeron in a good light with the rest of the SEC media who were laughing at him and making fun of him last year and the year before.
I am with you. I said in our first hour, I think you're going to find a lot of outside praise for LSU. I mean, these beat writers that cover other schools, whereas that was not the case last year. I'm glad you brought up Tyler Shelvin, though. Let's have some fun with it, and then let's get real with it. Give me some examples of guys that played with you that, you know what, you just told yourself, if they could slim down, they'd be incredible, but they just never really could. I know you played with guys like that.
Yeah, you know, and it's on defense especially, man, you got to have a motor. You know, I was a nose guard in high school, and I played against guys who just couldn't, you know, in high school, I just pushed around and was stronger than, and so I had like 20 sacks my junior or senior, one of the years. It was crazy. And but I got to LSU, and man, they moved me to offense because I just didn't have the motor that those guys have. I mean, it's a different ball game. And yeah, you get guys that come in and they're overweight, and they, you know, the guys who don't go through summer workouts, and you know, they're not in the same shape, and they pay for it by not being able to play. And that's why you got to diet. And on the opposite side of that, Ben, you have guys like Tommy Heisman at the time, and now Miles Brennan, who were trying to gain weight and would do anything to gain weight. They can't, which is, you know, you and I would love to have that problem these days. But it's a tough deal, man. But Tyler Shelvin, man, he must have been really, really big.
He was, and it's funny that you mentioned Miles Brennan. He is now up to 212. So Brennan's up to 212. Shelvin is down to 340. And here's the real question I had for you about Shelvin. How much can he perform? I mean, are we talking a guy that could be out there 50% of the time at that weight? I mean, what's your analysis there?
Oh, I mean, you know, you talk to Trev Falk, who coached him a little bit in high school before he transferred, and you know, the guy's his upside's amazing. I mean, he's an incredible athlete. He's strong. He's smart. I mean, he can do everything. He's just he's gotta be disciplined. And look, maturity will help that out. You know, there's nothing you can say about that's so big. Like I said, with a lot of these guys coming back and you know and playing as their juniors and seniors, the red shirts and all that, because maturity means so much, man. You gain so much knowledge from 19 to 21. You know, and a guy like Tyler who's been through the system, who's been ridiculed in the online chat boards and all that stuff. Where you know. Last year, I think was there a title of Chauvin sighting, you know, and now he's hopefully he can make Lafayette proud. He's a guy that can be in the All-American kind of talk if he plays consistent and gets in shape and really performs. I mean, he's that good. He could be that good.
Talking now with Ruff and Rodrigue on 103.7 The Game. Ruff, not long after I left for Finos on the River Friday, I saw that the 3 for 30 is back through the end of July. A combination of an appetizer, super salad, and a couple of delicious entrees. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Muffaletto, who's our general manager, and Greg and Katie, the managers over there, just really got with our kitchen staff and our chefs, and they just came out with some fantastic items. You know, we got desserts that are just flying around right now. Some peanut butter desserts I asked them to do, and it's so much talent. And Rufino's in the River in the culinary field, and this in management, and their passion for everything. It's truly been, you know, it's one of the best restaurants I've ever been to, as far as not only the experience, but man, the food has just gotten so much better over the past year. Just talking and. Yeah, talking to friends and people that have gone, it's really a special, special place. I mean, obviously the view of the river, it's probably the best looking place as far as the view is anywhere in the state. Man, these guys have really stepped it up culinarily and are taking it to another level. So it's a lot of fun to watch.
So we're talking about SEC Media Days, Ruffin, and Florida, one of the other three teams there today. I see a lot of parallels between the Florida Gators and the LSU Tigers, right? They've got coaches that are proven their worth. They've got quarterbacks that are returning and are multiple-year starters now. They're led by their defenses. You think Florida's got a chance at maybe creeping up on Georgia like LSU does Bama this season?
I mean, maybe. Georgia, I don't know, man. Georgia's offensive line is strong. And there's nothing better you can see. If you get the best offensive line in the country, which I think Georgia does, you could take that a long way, especially when you got a guy can run like Swift can. So it's going to be a good test for him. I like us against Florida at home, you know, after all the controversy and all the stuff with the hurricane that time and all that stuff and losing to him last year. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. The whole SEC is going to be fun to watch. All the coaches are back. You know, you got some personalities that are just fun to watch. You know, at LSU, we got a break this year. We play Vanderbilt, which is, you know, going to have a tough go. But, you know, it's going to be fun to watch, man. It's because we got Florida at home, but you get your tough ones on the road with Bama and that. So it's just going to be one of those years that I think we're going to look back and say, man, Joe Burrow, with his grit, and his wit and everything, his leadership, may take this team a lot further than people think, maybe to that Final Four.
A lot of people talking about that Texas game already. Ruffin, you and I have been doing the same. I would ask you this. Do you think that Ensminger and Brady go into that game expecting they'll have to open up the full arsenal and the full playbook?
Yeah, I mean, we did it, you know, Miami last year. You saw, you know, I think – when I saw the team before the game, and it just blew my mind how confident they were. I think you see the same thing now. You know, you lost some key leaders in Devin White and some really outstanding players. But again, you got your quarterback back. You got a extremely bright quarterback back who's tough and who this team really rallied around in that bowl game after getting that shot after that pick and on the chin, and blood came out and the whole deal, man, it changed the attitude of that team for that game. And he stopped that big winning streak for Central Florida. So I think, I just really like the attitude they got right now. You can feel it. You can feel it today watching Coach Ogeron. You can listen to, you know, Grant Delpit, what a personality he is. And, man, he's talking about a kid that's a good leader that I call him a bigger Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, he's got the skills to have a really, really big season. I know he didn't last year, but a Tyrann Mathieu type season, that's the kind of player he is. So look for Dave Aran to really use him in some huge situations.
I think we did, most of us out there. I don't want to speak for everyone, Ruffin, but I think by and large, South Louisiana was able to dodge some of what we expected from Barry. I'll get your tales from Baton Rouge, because I know that it's been a trying couple of years for everybody when we get these storms in the Gulf.
Yeah, well, so obviously Barry is a Bama fan. He's slow and cries a lot. That was a text I sent to all my buddies. Look, we got lucky. You know, a lot of prayers. The dry air came down, and we saw it. We saw the majority of the stuff stay in the Gulf, and then obviously we got some remnants of it. Yesterday we got a pretty good rain in Baton Rouge. Stayed out in Lafayette for the most part, and restaurants stayed dry, and everybody's safe. So I think prayers help in those situations, man. Prayers help in Katrina when it jogged east. I think it helped up this week. So it was a blessing.
I like that one a lot. A Bama fan. That might be my new favorite, but the one that we were toting around pretty heavy. Barry didn't want to get that speeding ticket going through Maurice or Golden Meadow or Crotch Springs, man. You just got to take it easy.
Yeah, you got to take it. Yeah. Yeah, that's some serious speed traps there, man.
You know, we have fun every time we get to do this on Mondays, Ruffin. Thanks for coming aboard, and we'll see you Friday.
Absolutely, my man. Have a good day.
Ruffin Rodriguez. Must be a Bama fan. Not Ruffin, of course, but I don't even know if I want to dignify it by calling it Hurricane Barry, because I think it was that for all of like 2 or 3 hours. The social media stuff was just incredible. I did my best not to engage with it for one simple reason. I knew there'd be a lot of people out there that still were going to take on some water, go through some things. Yeah, I wasn't gonna rub anyone the wrong way and offend, but just know, if you were one of those people out there authoring the hilarious post, thank you, because prayers help, but some levity during these times do as well. So everything I was seeing, saying that, you know, Barry lasted longer than relationships you've had before, like unbelievable stuff that was all over social media. I just, as somebody in the media, decided to stay away from it, but to say that I consumed it would be an understatement. All right, when we return, time to throw some shade, and I changed my mind on today's shade. And after what the Colorado Rockies did earlier this afternoon, they earned their keep today, and they've earned their place alongside our good friends at Patio Center. So we throw some shade on the other side of this break, and then we have some sound we can air out from SEC Media Days. That, plus I do want to get into some of the latest rumblings. Raging Cajun's baseball head coaching search. I know for almost all of us it still feels too soon to discuss it, but it's a big topic. It's been discussed, D1Baseball.com, a lot of places releasing the latest scuttlebutt, so we'll bring it to the program as we close out our second hour. Don't forget, in 30 minutes, we take it to Orlando, Florida, preview of the Florida Gators from Mark Moses at straight up 6 o'clock, and then Billy Napier, Raging Cajun's football head coach, coming your way at 6:30. So we're busy on a Monday. How else would you have it? Do not go anywhere. Ben and Kevin taking you home and into your Monday evening. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. There is the whistle, and here we go. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Right back in on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open for the next half hour. Come in as you please. 706-0111. Our thanks to Ruffin Rodriguez We got Mark Moses live from Orlando, Florida, almost 30 minutes from right now. But something we try to do every single day. Okay, we don't try. We accomplish it. Let's check it off the list right now and have some fun doing it. Here's your daily reminder. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. You can also trust their management, top down, starting with Mark, to sit down with you, create a vision, and then fulfill it before the new year. Heck, they could even do it sooner than that. But if you want it, boy, you better hurry to the website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
You may recall earlier this summer, we shared with you the genius that is the Colorado Rockies scoreboard operator. The person that said, well, the last time that Nolan Arenado did this, or I guess I should say, the last time somebody accomplished what Nolan Arenado has at this point, the iPhone had barely been invented. And the guy basically said, and I had just started paying alimony to my delight of an ex-wife. It was hilarious. I remember vividly giving you that story. I don't think that these people are the same geniuses as those people, but they're in the same family tree, right? They're related closely. Earlier today, the Colorado Rockies, I mean, when I say earlier today, very, very recently, the Rockies played a home game against the San Francisco Giants, and they got pummeled. 19-2 was the final. The Rockies gave up 5 in the first inning. Starting pitcher, Germán Márquez. How about this for a final line? This is shade-worthy in and of itself. 2 2/3 innings, 11 hits, and 11 earned runs. My man didn't make it out of the third inning and gave up 11 earned runs. But that's not the subject of today's shade. It's the geniuses. But this time, they didn't put something hilarious on the scoreboard in the stadium. They were caught, the people that run the broadcast were, literally taking a white marker and scratching out the score. And so for almost the entirety of the seventh inning, if you were watching that game, and I can't remember the provider, shame on me, Mile High Network, I don't know, I just made that up. But whoever was carrying this broadcast quite literally had scratched out the score next to San Francisco and Colorado. They went through an entire half inning, and if you watched it and just tuned in, you didn't know what the score was. It was so ugly that the Rockies broadcast team didn't even want you to see that it was on its way toward like a football score. It was 19-2. If you heard it, you knew. If you were just watching, well, you had no earthly idea.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Love it. Sweep it under the rug. There's nothing to see here. No, it's not 19-2. What is the score? I don't know. It's like a Bob Uecker type thing to do from a Cleveland Indians major league game. I love it that they went there. All right, short segment here, but for good reason. When we return, going to let you hear from all three LSU players that donned the purple and gold in Hoover today. Grant Delpit, Lloyd Cushenberry, and, of course, starting quarterback Joe Burrow. All on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. No doubt about it, right back in and talking all the sports you care about. And we're going to let you hear from LSU's players at SEC Media Days. Glad you're with us. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Before we get to the sound, and you will hear a lot, actually, from Grant Delpit, a good bit from Lloyd Cushenberry, as well as Joe Burrow, a reminder and something you just need to know about. For all men 18 and over, there is a great local event coming to Lafayette Saturday, August the 10th. It's the 7th Biennial Man-to-Man Catholic Men's Conference, and it's coming to Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church, This is an event truly for men of all faith and all that want to attend for any reason. The truth is this, it's an invitation to heal. A delicious jambalaya lunch will be served, and you'll enjoy keynote speaker Father Donald Calloway, who's got a nickname as the Surfing Priest. This guy's got some stories. So make your plans, especially before we all get busy, head in our separate directions for football season. Make plans to huddle up within yourself and regroup at the 2019 Man to Man Catholic Men's Conference. Register today before the event sells out at m2m2019.com. That's m2m2019.com. Tickets are still available to the 2019 Man to Man Catholic Men's Conference coming to Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church Saturday, August the 10th. Men in Acadiana, this is your invitation. You'll be glad that you came. Again, the website to register, m2m2019.com. All right, let's get right down to business. We'll lead off with the guy that Ed Orgeron reiterated. Today, he feels that Grant Delpit is the best player in the country. And Delpit led off by saying, part of our key to success, we watch film. And not just as cornerbacks, we watch it defensively as a group.
Yeah, you know, I just try to watch film as a group as much as I can. I think that, like, watch film as a group is more live, you know, it's more production, you know, it's better, you know. So you just got to grab those guys after practice, you know. Come on, we're going to watch film right quick. Because if they don't want to do it at home, we're going to do it after practice.
It's funny. I hear so much from the high school coaches these days. They can track exactly how long their kids are on huddle, how long they're watching film, and there are baseline expectations. Delpit, the defense for LSU, understandably, doing the same at their level. And when you think great safeties at LSU, especially recently, Delpit comes to mind, as does Jamal Adams. Here, Delpit says, oh, yeah, I reach out to the current New York Jet all the time.
I think I'm really close with Jamal. I talk to Tyler through, like, social media and stuff. If I see him at the end of the day, like, he's going to give me advice and stuff. But I think I really talk with Jamal. Just because it's, like, more recent, you know, it's easier for me to, you know, get in touch with him and things like that. So, Jamal had it on, man. He's a great all-around safety. I'm trying to model my game. So I'd be glad to him.
A few more from LSU's starting safety and a guy that will be on the top of a lot of lists for best defensive player, certainly best secondary player in the country. Here, Delpit, his two cents on the targeting rule, and we know that was a big deal for LSU last year.
I'm sure I will come throughout the season, but I don't really know what the rule is now. I know they made it tougher, right? Like if you miss a hold, I don't know, something like that. But it's tough. My thing is, if I'm 6'3 and the receiver is 5'7, how am I supposed to be lower than him if it's a bang-bang play? Like, stuff is going to happen like that. So it's tough. It's the rule, though.
And he'll be playing at the next level sooner than later, so As tough as it is for Delpit, he'll have to get used to that. One more from Grant Delpit. He was asked about Coach O and maybe how he is now based on when he got there. He made it very clear. He believes that Orgeron getting better with every year.
This year, I think we have a lot of talent coming back. So that's something we haven't had in the past. Coach O, he's getting better every year as a coach. And I think he's bringing us up with him as players. Just trusting in him, learning the defense. Just being around him for 3 years, that really helps out a lot of these players, just like a chemistry type stuff. So, this year we got definitely have a shot. We're going to be as good as we want to be. You know, I'm not worried about another team. We're not worried about another team. You know, we're just worried about us.
So there's your leader for LSU's defense. Next, let's take you to the leader for LSU's offense, Joe Burrow. As RP3 mentioned in our first hour, Burrow, one of nine quarterbacks, a record, to attend SEC Media Days this year. In fairness, up until about 5 or 6 years ago, there were only 12 outfits. So, yeah, 9 of 12 would have been really impressive. 9 of 14 is still pretty darn impressive. And here, Burrow was asked about, well, not directly, but basically he was asked about Kelly Bryant, right? And last year, Burrow came over from Ohio State, became an immediate starter. This year, it seems like that'll be the case for Bryant, who left Clemson mid-season last year in the middle of a national championship run to head to Mizzou. Add it all up, and here's what Burrow had to say about QBs transferring to other teams.
I do. I think guys want to play. And, you know, if you have an opportunity somewhere else that allows for you to have a better opportunity to play, I think you need to take it. And I think that's good for college football because more guys get to showcase their talents, and there's some really good players out there that might be stuck behind someone who's an NFL guy that goes somewhere else and light it up. So I think that's really good for college football.
Keeping that train of thought going, I'm interested to hear this as well. And again, courtesy of our good friend, the famous Clint D, fetching audio live from Hoover, Alabama. Great work from Clint. This one's simply titled, Joe Burrow, Why Can't Players Transfer?
I think that people that are successful in the sport of football are almost always good teammates. And I think that is a universal truth for so being a good teammate will help you go somewhere else and be successful as a transfer. And I think that coaches' goal should be to create an environment that breeds people wanting to stay inside the program. And, you know, if a player wants to leave for a better opportunity, why is it bad for them to chase an opportunity? Like, you guys can go work at a different journal if you want to, a different newspaper. So why shouldn't we be able to? The students can transfer from Ohio State to Tennessee and be in the same program and not have to sit out a year before they
I just started to fade a little bit there. There we go. We'll cut that off. Clint, we love you, brother. We need that last 5 seconds for our life back, though. What I will say is this. I love, love, love one of the things that Burrow said there. You guys can transfer or go work for another journal, right, or a newspaper. Why can't we do this? There are some really interesting parallels that I can make as we kind of go down that path, right? Everybody that got canned recently from NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, hey, they had to go find another journal or newspaper. Well, if a head coach gets canned, he's got to go find another job, and he can do so immediately. Of course, he can also decide, I just want to go take another job or go work for another journal. So to Joe's point, why can't he go find his next thing? And that's why the rules certainly have changed into the direction they have so far. That guy's got moxie, and he doesn't mind speaking his mind. Let's get you three more. All of these will be from the guy snapping the football to Burrow. Starting center Lloyd Cushenberry, he says, first off, Coach O, clearly a player's coach.
Man, Coach O, like, you're right. He is a player's coach. You know, he's all for us. He's all for Louisiana. He's from Louisiana, so he's going to want the best for us no matter what. But he's a guy. He's always locked in. Like, he's always fired up. No matter what time of day it is, morning, he's fired up. We have a 6 a.m. run. He's coming in, he's yelling, he's screaming, just like he would at 6 p.m. So he's just always locked in and fired up.
And that is some real spit right there. Just trust me on that. Everybody I know that covers the beat in LSU, for LSU and Baton Rouge, says the same thing. They go out there driving around at weird times, and Coach O is just jogging on the levee. That dude's out there. Getting after it. So trying to be about what he's preaching about to his players. Let's get more from LSU center Lloyd Cushenberry. It's an honor to be one of the three representing the Tigers, he said at 2019 SEC Media Days.
It's amazing to be in there. I was telling someone earlier, I just remember when I was a kid watching college football live, the show used to be on ESPN, and when around this time when SEC Media Days were going on, they would have that on the show, and I was just sitting in front of the TV and just, man, just what if I can be there one day? And just to be here is an honor. I'm blessed to be a part of, you know, we chosen one of the top 3 players on the team to be here because we have a lot of guys that could have been there. And it's just an honor.
I feel like I'm on the cusp of taking you to get off my lawn territory because I am old enough to remember when there was no SEC Live on the mothership, when there was no such thing as the SEC Network. So Lloyd Cushenberry, a young man, and certainly has the opportunity to become a pretty integral part of an LSU offensive line that we learned today maybe more likely than anybody wants to be without Ed Ingram. And that was one of the things that Coach Ogeron said. He's not as optimistic as he once was about Ingram returning to the team. He called the process prolonged and then just kind of left it at that. All right, one more from Cushenberry, and that'll round out our LSU sound from day one. I feel quite certain tomorrow morning, beginning with RP3 and company. You'll hear a lot from head coach Ed Orgeron, but right now it's the players' turn. And here, Cushenberry ends it all by giving his two cents on Tiger Stadium. Lloyd, what you think about Death Valley?
We out there, if we have a game at 7 o'clock, they're out there at 8 a.m. They're out there all day, man, and fired up. And just being in that atmosphere at night is, it's amazing. It's like you won't find that atmosphere nowhere else in the country.
That makes me wonder how early some of you have been out there for LSU tailgating before. I know that I have beaten the 8 a.m. mark before. I will just leave it at that. I've had to be there awfully early. I also know I've been in Tiger Stadium past 3 a.m. So thank you for some of those games that lasted extremely long. And a special shout out to Michael Bonnet for not completely dumping me on my rear end at like 1 a.m. when they wanted everyone to leave Tiger Stadium for some of those events. It's a place for all times. What can I tell you? What I do know is this. We've had a lot of talk so far about the LSU side of the ledger from SEC Media Days, and why not? When we return, I'm going to let you hear about the Florida Gators. Mark Moses, host of the Mark Moses Show in Orlando, Florida, and our guy's already done 3 hours of radio today, so we'll make him stick around and do just a little bit more with us. So we'll talk Florida Gators football as we lead off hour number three, and then a Q&A replay with Billy Napier, head coach of the UL football, Raging Cajuns. That'll come your way at 6:30. We'll also do a little bit of a look ahead to Tuesday at SEC Media Days, and we will touch on the Houston Astros, what transpired with their weekend. The Astros continue to be a very intriguing team to follow. The talent, yep. Some of the injuries, yeah, we know about those too. But I think they're making their way toward a playoff run that hopefully will be closer to what 2017 brought and not 2018. We'll also try to mix in a little talk on the Raging Cajuns baseball head coaching search. Not a lot of loose lips on that front, but there are some reports out of D1Baseball.com. Just for example, people are certainly starting to talk about who Tony Robichaud's eventual successor will be. So we'll share some of that too. All of it heading your way in a busy, jam-packed third hour. So do not go anywhere. Ben Love and Kevin bringing you home on this Monday talking season kickoff edition of B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7, yeah, on your FM, 1037thegame.com, and all over the world on your free 1037 The Game mobile app. And don't ever forget, it is presented by Visit Avery Island. We'll be right back on the roller coaster.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It is time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll. Our third and final hour underway. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. We've got Kevin in tow, and for the next hour, we take you home from inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Busy first day over in Hoover. Some 7 hours away. Yeah, the first day of SEC Media Days 2019. Some rumblings that it might be the last of its kind in Hoover. I hope not. I mean, truly. I know it's going to Atlanta, then Nashville. Commissioner Greg Sankey joked that maybe Vegas is on the cusp. All right, that's all good. But don't completely abandon Hoover. Just my two cents. Time to get a little bit of a look on the other side of the curtain, though. LSU, Mizzou both went today, as did Florida, to discuss the Gators. He's aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Mark Moses, host of The Mark Moses Show, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Sports Radio 1560 in Orlando. How are you, Mark?
My man, how you doing? It's been too long.
I feel like the last time we spoke, the ADs at LSU in Florida were having a pissing contest about a hurricane, and well, LSU hasn't played against Florida in Baton Rouge in like 18 years since then, right?
Yeah, that is right. So do you guys get like 12 games in a row now? What's happening?
I don't know. I'm not sure it'll go down that way. I do know this. Mark, there's a lot of optimism in South Louisiana surrounding Joe Burrow returning as a second-year starting quarterback, continuity with the offensive coordinator. How much of that same feeling and sentiment exists in Florida surrounding Felipe Franks?
You know what's weird about Felipe Franks, and people forget about this because they saw the performance against Florida State and then the one against Michigan, is he had a bad game late in November and pretty much got benched. Kyle Trask came in, and then Kyle Trask, the backup, got all the first-team reps in practice that week. Then they were going with some, like, gimmick play by Wednesday or Thursday, and Trask hurt his, like, ankle. So then Franks had to come back and start that weekend. So it's very weird when you think about Franks with last season. He had ups and downs. But I'll tell you, he quieted a lot of critics, including myself, with what I said, especially the bowl win against Michigan. But I know after a while, I think you and me might beat Michigan in a bowl game. Maybe it's not as crazy as it sounds. But Franks, I'll tell you, for a guy who is a Jim McElwain recruit and a guy who did not look like he was ready to play at this level, Dan Mullen does it again, where he knows how to teach quarterbacks to play at the SEC level. And expectations going in this fall are very, very high. And they're going to start August 24th in Orlando as they take on Miami. Franks comes out and he controls this offense. I'll tell you, man, they're going to be going crazy there in Gainesville.
Help me out a little with that opener, because I'm familiar with, like, you know, for example, Mark, Notre Dame goes to Ireland and plays. Okay, that's out of the country. Then they got to travel. Why in the world are the Gators and the Canes playing a week before everyone else, like a full week?
I hate it. I've been on record. I think it's stupid. I think that weekend is usually kind of to showcase high school football, like on Saturday and Sunday, even in your state. They do it all over the country. I like that. And then we kick off Labor Day. But they want to be the showcase of the showcase. They want everyone in the country to see it, and it's a way to expand the college football season. But it's going to be weird where you're going to play that, and then the Gators won't play Labor Day weekend for the first time in who knows when, maybe in the history of the program. I don't like it. I think it's going to be beyond hot for that game. But as you know, man, it's a way for recruiting to get your brand out there. And I know the Miami fan base, they're going to have their brand-new head football coach and their brand-new quarterback. But that is going to be a Gators home game there in Orlando. It's only pretty much maybe under 2 hours for the drive to get to Orlando. That is going to be 80% Gators. And I know that the Gator fan base, they're ready to flex their muscle versus the U.
Talking Florida football, and you can follow our current guest on Twitter, at Mark Moses Show. Mark, what's the strongest grouping by position or unit on the Florida team this year?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. Oh, man. The strongest, probably, and I know you're going to hate this, maybe the secondary. They just reload just like LSU does. They lose guys on the D-line, and that's just from the NFL draft, and that's any SEC team. But the defense will be better than you think. Maybe it's the running back position if we're going the strength of the team where LaMichael P. Ryan comes back. I know you lose Jordan Scarlett. Maybe it's LaMichael P. Ryan. Maybe he's your guy that really steps up on offense. And maybe they have a better offensive line than they've had in your past. And I know you're going to make fun of me. Maybe Felipe Franks is a strength as well. Maybe for the first time in, I don't know, in 1,000 years, maybe the Gators' offense can put up points this year and really help out that defense, because it's not been like that in a long, long time.
You say 1,000 years, and obviously you jest, but really it's been like 10 or 11 years, right? I mean, Tim Tebow's not that far removed.
Tim Tebow is the last quarterback to go to media days for the Florida Gators.
Wow.
If you think about it, till Felipe Franks. So you're right. It's been a decade or so. That's how bad the quarterback position has been for the Florida Gators. I mean, last year was the first time they were actually ranked, you know, not in the 100s for total offense. Just think about that for a second, where they actually had a competent offense that can help them win football games. That's how bad it's been. And Felipe Franks, I'll say one more time, first quarterback to go to media days for the University of Florida since Tim Bleepin' Tebow, man.
I made the argument in hour one of our program, Mark, about 2 hours ago now, that the really make-or-break portion of the Gators' schedule is right before that bye week in October, at LSU, at South Carolina consecutively. They get through that unscathed? Is that possible?
It is possible. They always play terrible against South Carolina. I know people are like, oh, they'll beat them. I never think they play well in that game. And you know, in the words of Jim Ross, it is a slobber knocker against LSU. Just throw the records out the building. You know we're going to have some 19-17 field goal type game. And I know that the Bayou Bengals are going to be ready for the Gators because you said it a second ago. They've been waiting for another home game. They can't wait. The last time they played, wasn't it the stupid goal line stance game with Jim McElwain? Isn't that the last game there at LSU? I know the LSU fans are going to be ready for that one. But can they have a great record this year and compete against Georgia? I think this can. I know I'm drinking the Kool-Aid here, but I think if they can get through LSU, this team is good enough to get to Atlanta.
I would say two things. One, you're right. That goal line stand game, it was Darius Geis going the wrong way on a toss pitch. Number two, I can and I will continue to make the argument, Mark, Florida is the biggest rivalry game on LSU's schedule these days. It's not Alabama.
Is that because you haven't beaten Alabama in a while?
Well, that certainly contributes. And by the way, I'd probably put Texas A&M above Alabama on that rankings right now as well. It's probably Florida 1, A&M 1A.
I just want to tell you something. Ever since I saw that title game with Clemson and Alabama, where Clemson whooped Bama, I mean, just whooped them in that game since January, I just think of the SEC where my number one thing this fall is, and you're talking about rivalries, the number one thing should be every team in the SEC has no excuse not to beat Alabama. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear like, well, they have too much class, they have too much depth, it's over in the first quarter. Every team in the SEC should look at Clemson and say, okay, what do we need to do? And I understand they have a Heisman candidate quarterback at Clemson, and they got first-round talent. But everything should, this fall, that should be the number one goal. How do you stop Alabama? I'm sick of them making the playoffs and winning the SEC. And I agree with you. Florida-LSU is a gigantic game. And you look at Florida's schedule, no one really cares about that Florida State game. They make sure that they beat Georgia and LSU in the SEC schedule.
Mark Moses, our guest on 103.7 The Game, and that is why I love having a proper sports talker on the program, because I love the fire and I love where you came from. I just completely disagree, and I'll tell you why. I think Okay. Everybody in the SEC, they don't need to feel this way outwardly, but I could say this as a talking head. I think Alabama and Nick Saban are about to be on the warpath because of that game that ended last season. And I think there are probably only three teams in the SEC that can sniff their jocks this year. Now, I do think that LSU and Florida might be two of them. We know Georgia's the other. I think Bama's about to come back with a vengeance in 2019.
Oh, I agree with you. And here's the thing. They brought Tua to SEC Media Days. This is our guy. There's not going to be a quarterback controversy this year. And we're going to show you that was a fluke. And we're going to go right back. I agree with you. If you're Alabama, you should be embarrassed in how you played in that game. I'm just saying, I want to make sure someone can beat Bama when we get to December. That's what I don't want to keep seeing the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl every year, and I don't want to see Bama in the playoff every year. I know I'm a hater, but I feel like I'm in a rerun. Like I'm seeing, season 7 of Friends on Netflix for the 100th time. I'm sick of it after a while. That's all I'm saying, Ben.
Beautiful. It's called Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. I think this is what you just described. Hey, Mark, before we let you go, you mentioned the Miami game in Orlando. Again, the season finale for the Gators will be Florida State. This will be played in the Swamp. They were god-awful last season. All indications are they will be improved. What's that one like on the rivalry scale? And I guess tell our listeners a little bit more about Florida State, where that stands.
What's interesting in the state is it goes through cycles where Florida's really good, Florida State's kind of down. Now Florida's good, Florida State, you know, it goes back and forth. I know in the 90s both of them were good with Miami, but it just feels like the last 10, 15 years, one's up, one's down. You look at what Willie Taggart is going through right now, and I've interviewed him a bunch of times. I've known him for years. There were articles that came out recently where they were barely making their academics. Like, they were the worst in Division I football. Where, you know, we always make the joke, football players, you know, some of them are just going to, like, basket weaving. I don't even think Florida State was doing that. I don't think anyone was going to class. So forget about can we compete on the field. I don't even know if they were making grades enough to be on the field. That's how bad it was. But I can't stress this enough. Jimbo Fisher, he saw a sinking ship, and he saw $75 million guaranteed. I don't blame him for leaving, but it just reminds me of when Urban Meyer left Florida. He said, uh-oh, Nick Saban's on the rise. I'm going to get out of here. That's what it feels like, where Willie Taggart, the problem is he's back at step one. He's going to need 4 or 5 years to really turn it around and get it back. But with that fan base, I don't know if you have that time. I don't. If they come out this year and they look unorganized and they're getting whooped by people, I don't know if he survives the season. And I know also the athletic director and the president were saying, you know, we don't really have the money to, you know, buy this guy out if he's awful. Trust me, Ben, there's always money. All right? There's always money that they can find if they don't like him long term.
There's always money in the banana stand. Mark, you know we appreciate the time, my friend. I thought about this before the interview. I said, you know what? We'll have fun today. I'm sure we'll talk again in mid-October. Dude, that's like in 3 months. You realize that, right?
Oh, I know. Do you know that the Gators are going to start fall practice here in about 12 days because their kickoff is August 24th? Look, man, I hope you had your vacation because it's football time again.
Yeah, we're talking about it, and soon they'll be playing it. Mark, thanks as always for the time. Enjoy your evening, my friend.
Yeah, you as well, man. You do a great job. Have a good time this season, all right?
Love talking shop with this guy. Again, the Mark Moses Show, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Sports Radio 1560 in Orlando. Oh, I missed an opportunity there, Kevin. Missed a really big opportunity. This is a man who literally has on his Twitter byline, 18-time Mortal Kombat arcade champion. I even teased it earlier in the show. I was going to ask him basically to show his credentials and prove it. Opportunity lost. I have a cell phone number. I'll get the answer. I'll do the journalistic legwork, and I'll report back probably tomorrow. How's that sound? Good? All right, great. Quick break. Then we'll return. Billy Napier, a Q&A replay at 6:30. So stick and stay. More Bumper to Bumper Sports on the way on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Breaking ball over for strike three, and that is the ball game. The Houston Astros pour it on with a seven-run seventh as they defeat the Texas Rangers 12-4. Astros earn a split of the four-game series after dropping the first two.
There you have it. As we return, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Johnny on the spot, always. Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, they've got the call of the Astros 12-4 win on a Sunday. Justin Verlander, fantastic. And the Astros did split the series. They're going to begin tonight on the road, West Coast style, taking on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Two bits of good news I could share with you on that front. Number one, Mike Trout has a calf injury, almost certainly will be sitting out the game tonight for the Angels. That's what you want. The guy's been on an absolute bender of lately, just sending bombs nightly over the wall. And so Mike Trout out, that would be a good thing. Something else that could go in the Astros' favor, Griffin Canning throwing tonight for the Angels. He hasn't been great so far this season. As far as A.J. Hinch, he's going to call on Josh James. Astros 59-35, still doing awfully well. When you look up at the AL West standings, 6 games clear of the A's, 9 games clear of the Rangers, 11 games clear of the Angels. And I'll tell you what's interesting there. The Angels at 48-46, obviously 2 games above 500. That AL West isn't exactly the garbage heap that we thought it could be toward the beginning of the season. Hilarious that the Seattle Mariners were the team that really got off to a great start, and now they're 19 games below 500. Good work there, Seattle. But I think there's a chance for the Astros to gain some distance from the Angels early this week and do something to ward off the Oakland A's. And Oakland, they just don't have a lot of quit in them. And it always seems like the middle of the season where they roar, going into the All-Star break, coming out of it. They just got done sweeping the Chi Sox. Oakland has won 4 in a row, 8 of 10. And they're making the best of their opportunities right now. Feast on the White Sox while you can, people. They're not going to be terrible forever. I can't share with you tonight's Astros lineup again. Kevin and I are with you until 7 tonight. I believe first pitch is at 9:05, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm wrong, Kevin will tell me sooner than later. Yeah, I think 8:35 is your pregame show tonight. Astro launch, 9:05, the first pitch. But here's your 1 through 9 tonight for the Astros. It'll be Springer leading off, Altuve batting second. Bregman doing just fine. Thank you very much after that potential head injury, batting third. Yordan Alvarez, DHing and batting fourth. Yuli, still in a bender of his own, batting fifth, playing first base. Josh Reddick is batting sixth. Robinson Chirinos catching and batting seventh. You got Kemp, Tony Kemp Jr., going to be playing left field, batting seventh. And Straw, yeah, he stirred the drink. He's playing shortstop, still backing up Carlos Correa. He'll be batting ninth. And as I mentioned, Josh James getting the start tonight for the Houston Astros. And so Stroh's baseball at a point where, well, they've just got to keep winning and try to keep pace with the New York Yankees. And I know they're trying to win the division first, but you got to consider life after the division. What does that mean? Well, how do you stack up when it comes to pole positioning? And let's take a look around Major League Baseball right now. Stroh's at 59-35. They're tied for the most wins in the American League. The Yankees are 59-32. So obviously they've got 3 games of catch up left to play. The Minnesota Twins, still surprising a lot of folks, 58-34. They've got one less win, also one fewer loss than your Houston Astros. But the other teams to really keep an eye out for are the Tampa Bay Rays at 55-40, certainly in there as a front runner for a wild card spot, as are the Oakland A's. But I'm going to tell you not to completely bury the Boston Red Sox. Yes, they lost last night. Sure, they've lost 2 in a row because they were playing at the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers, let us not forget, the best team in baseball right now. Their record is 62-33. Yikes. So obviously, the Dodgers, I tried to bury them in the preseason. I said there were other teams you should focus on as maybe the crop that is going to be at the top of the NL. I gave you Chicago, I gave you Milwaukee, and I gave you some teams that really just are doing okay, but not exactly lighting the world on fire. But I'll give some credit. The Atlanta Braves right now, winners of 4 straight, 7 out of 10, one of the hottest teams, certainly, in the National League, as are the Washington Nationals. Yeah, they lost a heartbreaker in Philly yesterday, 4-3, but they've still won 8 of 10. So before yesterday, the Nats had rattled off 8 of 9. I'm very intrigued. Our guy, the famous Clint D, likes to say that. I'm very interested. Yeah, I am too, Clint. When I look at who's going to emerge this year as the best in baseball, there are some races that are just foregone conclusions. For example, the Dodgers are 14.5 games up on the Diamondbacks. Here's the inside scoop. They'll win that division. Feel pretty comfortable in telling you as well that the Yankees are almost certainly going to win the AL East, but there are competitors that'll pop up in wild card races in all of those divisions. So the Stros right now, it's just a bit about keeping pace. But you look at the schedule that's coming up. I mentioned that they're starting a set with the Angels, 4-game set. The Angels have a chance to either claw back into the AL West race or, coming out of the All-Star break, Houston can finish up its road trip strong. They had 4 in a row at Texas. They took 2. Now they've got 4 in a row at the Angels. After that, yeah, they're going to keep it as a division thing, even as they return back home. This weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Stros are going to be hosting the Texas Rangers, and then it's a 3-game set versus the Oakland A's to begin next week before kind of a weird series of games. Next week, Monday through Wednesday, they'll be at the St. Louis Cardinals. Hey, I was there a few weeks ago myself at Busch, and then it's 3 in a row after a day off at the Cleveland Indians. So I'd like to tell you there's a chance to really do a lot of damage, but the schedule's just kind of strange and against a whole lot of borderline 500 teams. Angels, Rangers, Cardinals, Indians. Not a lot of room to hide there, but there certainly isn't much that you need to fear there either, in my opinion. So we'll do our best to continue giving you as many updates as we can on the Houston Astros. We've had our friends Chandler Rome and Brian McTaggart on in the last week, week and a half. I'll be making a play for another of our correspondents, Allison Footer. She always does a great job with MLB.com. In fact, I see her a lot on the stadium these days with TV updates. She's got a face that accommodates TV. I don't. That's why I'm doing radio. Kevin and I, yeah, we both may fit that bill. And we're coming right back in. We've got a half hour to go. On the other side of this break, we're going to run back a Q&A replay with Raging Cajuns head coach Billy Napier. What does he see in store for year two of his tenure leading the Vermilion and White? That, plus just what he expects from the freshman crop coming to Cajun country, I think you'll be able to tell with this interview. He likes the cut of those youngsters. We'll be right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Coming down the home stretch, still gotcha on a Monday, July the 15th. A lot of LSU football talk so far. As Kevin and I come back in, we're going to switch it over to the Cajuns. You're listening to Bumper Sports, getting close to 7 o'clock on 103.7 The Game. Last week, had the good fortune of speaking with Billy Napier. You know he's getting ready for year two, leading the UL football program. Some exciting things going on, and I think when you check out this Q&A replay from late last week, what really stands out, boy, they like these freshmen that are coming into Cajun country. They want to cook with their own ingredients. Heck, don't let me spoil it for you. You're going to hear all about it right here. Second-year head coach of your UL Raging Cajuns, Billy Napier, our guest. Coach, I know it's been a trying time for the Cajun community, and we'll talk about that momentarily, but I hope it has been a fulfilling summer for you and your family. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, Ben, I appreciate you having me on today and certainly covering our program and covering UL.
And let's get right to it. You and I spoke off the air yesterday. I understand that people that follow Cajun baseball, Cajun athletics, their heart just absolutely bleeds for Tony Robichaud and his family. What has that experience, I guess, been like from your side and all the outpouring of love that you've witnessed for this man, this legend, and this giant in our area and within your athletic department?
Well, it's humbling for me, you know, to have worked alongside not only a coach and a person, but, this is a guy who I looked up to quite a bit, you know, just in terms of outside of the success that he had as a coach, as a person, as a man, as a member of our community. I think he was everything that we should desire to be. You know, I think that these are difficult times. There's nothing easy about it. But I do think that they cause you to look in the mirror. I think that they cause us all to remember the wisdom and the experience and the things that Coach Rope taught us along the way. And certainly having a chance to be at visitation and go to the funeral, it becomes very obvious the impact that Coach Rope had and that we all have in the coaching profession. So it's a challenge to me, and certainly, although difficult, if there's anyone to celebrate, Tony Robichaud, is the cream of the crop, you know, and as good a man as I've met in my day. So, for me, it's a challenge to go to be that type of person and have that type of impact and certainly, take some of the things that he has taught me and apply those things going forward.
Coach, I know for your football program, there's been a little downtime with this 4th of July break, but the guys are back at it this week, and it's also the time of year where the strength and conditioning staff really has their hooks in the players. So I guess your hopes and aspirations for how your team is getting better at this time of year.
Well, it's a critical time of the year. You know, I think that this is where your team really develops a lot of the chemistry, unity, togetherness that will be very important in the critical times of the season. You know, I think that it's really the first time that the rookie players are working alongside the veteran players that maybe have been around here. Certainly for us in year two, We're much better at everything that we're doing. We're much more efficient. I think we're getting more out of our work. But I like the attitude of our team. I think we're developing the intangibles that it's going to take. We have a challenging schedule, and we're excited about those opportunities. And I'm excited about some of the leadership that I'm seeing from some of these players.
Head Coach Billy Napier, the UL Raging Cajuns, our guest on 103.7 The Game. Any examples, Coach, that you could share of maybe how your team feels deeper going into year two? And when I say that, deeper with guys that understand your system, deeper recruited with the type of players that you want for your system. Do you have that type of feel?
Well, I think we've got a little bit better feel for this rookie group that we signed. I do think that, the quote-unquote experts rank this group highly, and I think that the early reviews would be that they were right. You know, I think that this is a big, long, fast group that has some character, you know, and is working really, really hard. The time will tell, you know, as we put pads on in August and we start, you know, really going to work on putting in the offense and the defense and practicing at a high rate, you know, whether they can handle that. But I think what I'm most impressed with is I see some of these personalities on our team gelling together. You know, we're working really well together, and I think that's really, really important at this time of the year. So I'm excited about the rookie group that we signed, and I think that they're going to make an impact on our team for sure.
Any rookies in particular that showed up maybe having transformed their bodies in one way or the other, or that you just saw and you were reminded, okay, yeah, this is why we recruited this kid out of high school?
Well, I mean, heck, there's a lot of them. I think on both lines of scrimmage, offensive line and defensive line, it's just this is an impressive group of players. You know, some of the guys that we all talked about along the way, I'd hate to single out one guy and leave out someone, but the big thing I would say is I think that the positions of need, you know, defensive line, I think at corner, we've got quality depth at receiver. I think we're preparing, you know, we've got a really senior veteran group of offensive linemen. So that group of linemen that we've signed has got us some position for a bright future there. You know, all the quarterbacks are here now. So, I mean, we've added lots of pieces to the puzzle, you know, and we're still quite not complete, you know, to some degree when you start looking at 85 scholarship players and all those things. So a lot of work to be done, but we've got enough to be dangerous, and it's really going to be about what type of choices and decisions we make between now and then, how we prepare, what type of teammates we are, you know, all those intangible things that we put a premium on.
Coach, yesterday I was out at the first day of the Quick Slant 7-on-7 tournament at St. Thomas More, saw Tank Lotief, watched Kaplan participate, and it reminded me about Quentlen Cobb and just how many positions he played for that Kaplan Pirates team. So I'll let you remind our listeners, just where do you think he'll slot in position-wise for your team?
Well, Quentlen's going to play defensive line. You know, Quentlen's played a little bit of defensive line in high school. You know, Quentlin's a young man who is very much capable, you know, and I think we're excited to work with him. And I'm anxious to get him here and go to work. You know, it's certainly right down the road a guy that's from our backyard, and we're going to take tremendous pride in helping him be the best he can be.
Our listeners will want to know about how, I guess, your prep work goes once you get to August. And so how much and for how long can you really work on us? How much can you get better internally before you really have to start flipping the calendar and page over to Mississippi State?
Well, you know, we've got a plan that we use for training camp that certainly, having worked with some really good coaches, I think applies. You know, we'll work really hard for about 17 practices. You know, we'll kind of turn the page about a week and a half out from that Mississippi State opener in New Orleans in the Superdome. So, you know, we'll turn the page with about 10 days to go. But, you know, we're going to work on ourselves for 17 practices all the way up until about August 20th. So should be a very intense training camp. I think practice is going to be much more competitive, and certainly in year two, people will be playing faster, and I think it'll produce a better product. So we got work to do between now and then. I think we've got about 20 days before we report. And, you know, there's work to be done between now and then, and we'll turn the page to training camp on August the 1st when the guys report.
Another moment or two with Billy Napier heading into year two, leading the Cajuns football program. As a guy who obviously is geared toward the offensive side, Coach, where are some of the areas that you're hoping Levi Lewis takes the most strides forward between now and the last weekend in August?
Well, Levi has impressed me just, you know, since the day I've gotten here. He's, you know, been well celebrated, you know, in terms of his attitude, his approach. He's a tremendous teammate, very well respected within our locker room. You know, I think he's one of the more impressive teammates that I've been around. You know, a guy that really sets the tone in our building in terms of how you work, the attention to detail, discipline, being consistent in your approach. You know, and I think that that's paid off for him. You know, he's really improved as a passer. I'm excited to see the work that he's done this summer as we get back and get on the field. But, you know, he's in that quarterback meeting room about every day around here, studying tape, going through our protocol that we have for the quarterbacks in the summer. He's doing a great job leading our team in some of these optional team activities that we do. So Levi Lewis is everything that we could ask for in a quarterback, you know, but I think we've got a really good group of quarterbacks in general. I think this is going to be a very competitive training camp to see how this thing shakes out. Certainly Jayave Mangale, Chandler Fields is here now to go along with Clifton McDowell. We added Brayden Hawkins here late. So this is a good group. You know, a lot of new faces, but certainly a lot of good arms. And I think a group that's intelligent, has character, and it goes about their business the way you'd want your quarterback to be.
You and I have talked this offseason, and you expect the defense under Ron Roberts to maybe be the area where the overall team is most improved. I guess some of the things that you saw in the spring and continue to see that bolster that belief that you've had for some time now.
Well, I think the big thing is too, not only for the players but also for the staff, relative to they know what to expect. You know, they know how to use their time. They know how to plan their meetings. They know how to plan their the things that go with their walkthroughs and the practice opportunities that they get. So I think Coach Roberts' pedigree, I see that. You know, I saw it in spring practice, and certainly I'm excited to get to training camp. But even in the summer, you know, I think his impact is starting to become very obvious. I like the addition of Lamar Morgan, and certainly we've got a good group of coaches on that side of the ball. Our personnel is going to improve with the players that we signed, and then I think that being in year two in the system, in this way of doing things, I think it's going to pay off. So we need to take a step forward on defense, and I think that we're working towards that. I'm excited about that group of players and that group of coaches.
Big opener for the Raging Cajuns. It's Saturday, August 31st, 11 a.m. kickoff inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, Mississippi State against the Cajuns. Coach, I know a lot of people still gobbling up tickets for that one. Before we let you go, I think it's awesome what's going on at Cajun Field, and you'll debut there September 7 against Liberty, and there will be people buying $2 16-ounce domestic beers inside that stadium. So how much of a bear hug did you give Dr. Brian Magger when you read that news?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a big initiative here to improve the game day experience for the fan. I think across all of college football, I think we're doing more and more to make game day a better experience for the fan. Certainly, I'm in charge of winning and losing and how our team plays, how they execute, the type of discipline that they play with, the effort and the toughness. You know, but Dr. Magger and our administration have done an outstanding job. I think as we roll out these ticket packages and the different things that we're doing, basically, we're trying to make every Saturday at Cajun Field a festival, man. We like to have a good time around here in Cajun land, and I think Saturdays at Cajun Field need to be that way. So some of the things that we've done to improve their experience, I think, are important. But for me, I always say, just win. You know, let's put together a team that wins with class, does things right off the field, and I think these people will be proud of these young men and show up and support them. And I'm excited about the future. I've never been more excited and had more fun coaching than I am having right now. A lot of that has to do with the group of coaches and the people that we have to work here with, our administration included, and certainly we've got a veteran group of players that I think is starting to get it. They're starting to understand what it's truly about. You know, and it won't be long. We'll be strapping it on here and going playing some games. So can't wait to that opener, and certainly got a great schedule ahead of us.
Coach Billy Napier getting everyone fired up for some UL Raging Cajun football. Glad to hear you're as excited as ever. Hey, we are too, Coach, and look forward to continue taking this ride with you. Thanks for coming on today.
Ben, thank you, man. Appreciate you covering our team.
Our thanks again to Billy Napier of the Raging Cajuns football program. We're getting awfully close to 7 o'clock. Let's take you home, and let's cross the finish line on the other side of this break. You are dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Day one of your work week, and here we go. Day one of your work week and day one of SEC Media Day is just about in the books. We'll look forward to day two as we wrap up today's program. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. LSU, Florida, Mizzou, done with so far at Hoover, although I'm betting we'll circle back to those Bayou Bengals at some point during our show tomorrow. But here's a preview of what's coming up on a Tuesday from Hoover. In order, Georgia, Ole Miss, then a lunch break, then Tennessee and Texas A&M take the stage. Common denominator, four quarterbacks going for those four teams. It'll start off with Jake Fromm, almost led Georgia to a national championship as a true freshman, and now he's got an opportunity as a junior to see if he can't push the Bulldogs a step further. Ending the day will be Kellen Mond and the Texas A&M Aggies. But I'll revert back to something that RP3 said earlier in the show, an interesting point. You don't have a single head coaching change that was made in the conference, so you've got continuity with the coaches that are coming. They've done this song and dance before. They understand what this whole rigmarole is about. But you've got some interesting storylines. Two teams from the East, two from the West. Georgia, certainly the juggernaut of the East, a team that's expected to get back there. And as Ruffin Rodrigue told us about an hour and a half ago, maybe the best offensive line in all of college football this year. So much returning depth. DeAndre Swift running behind them, Jake Fromm at quarterback. And so it should be a fun year, I would think, for the Georgia Bulldogs. Out of the two teams that are coming from the West, Texas A&M's got a really, really good team and a really, really, really difficult schedule. In fact, I would say maybe the most difficult in all of the SEC. Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, LSU. Yikes. And that's not even considering that they get the full rest of the Western complement, right? That includes Auburn. They get Mississippi State. They get Arkansas. And so we'll have to see if some of that talent, if some of the coaching with Jimbo Fisher company can overcome what should be a brutal schedule this year for the khaki-colored crew from College Station. The other two teams that are going, Tennessee, still potentially on the come up. I just don't know how quickly it's going to happen, right? We know they've got a good coach, somebody that trained under the Saban watch, but that's going to be a tough road to hoe. Earlier in the show, we talked about leading a team kind of out of the doldrums back to promise, and that reference was made by Mark Moses toward Florida State. I would say the same about Tennessee. I think that job's going to be a climb. It could be done. I just think it's going to be a climb. And as far as Ole Miss goes, this time last year, the story was that, hey, we're keeping Matt Luke, right? They elevated their interim in sort of a similar fashion that LSU did, except with the whole, you know, punishment, probation thing. Now Ole Miss is off probation. They got a freshman quarterback. Imagine that, a freshman gunslinger. They're bringing to SEC Media Day. So just a few of the storylines to ponder as we get ready for day two of four from Hoover, Alabama. What I can tell you is this. We will have RP3 aboard at 4:30 Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So get used to your SEC update presented by Ardco Equipment on the button, just at about 4:30. At 5 o'clock tomorrow, Shea Dixon will be with us, a full LSU recruiting update, and then we'll flip the script with our good friend from Go247.com. So a busy show packed into 2 hours tomorrow. As for our guest today, I got to tip my cap. I think I just kind of did during the segment to each one of them. The best, most salient points they brought up. But our thanks to Raymond Pars III, Ruffin Rodri, owner of Rufino's on the River, and Mark Moses, host of The Mark Moses Show, Sports Talk 1560 in Orlando and Melbourne, Florida. So we got three out of the way. Mizzou, Florida, LSU. Tomorrow, we're coming for you. Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Texas A&M. Later in the week, we got more goodness planned for you. Scheduled interviews coming up with Lynn Scarborough, Lindy's Magazine, and we're working on a few more. From the Diamond, talking Astros. From the Hardwood, talking about the basketball tournament. Yeah, so much more coming down the pike this week, and we're just getting started. First day working with Kevin. Salute, sir. Had fun here inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Hopefully he'll come back tomorrow. Okay, he's shaking his head. Yes, we'll do three more days together, but it won't be penance. It'll be fun, especially when I'm at the Tap Room River Ranch on Thursday and you can basically hear me drinking beers live on the air. That'll be a lot of fun for you, Kevin. All right, for Kevin, my name is Ben Love. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports, Astros baseball on the West Coast. Coming up later tonight, Stros versus the Angels, so keep it locked on 103.7 The Game.